are in the book of Romans, and well, we have some great things.
You know, the one thing about the book of Romans, we're not there yet, but the one thing that was emphasis in my heart tonight concerning the book of Romans, it's also in the book of Ephesians, and it's in Corinthians also. I think it may even be in Galatians too, where Paul consistently says that I am praying for you. And that is really something that I think is very important because we need somebody praying for us. And I like to ask you, who's praying for you? Well, if you go to this church.
I am too.
And guess what? If you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus is ever interceding for us with the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us consistently. That's how important it is.
That's why we could say we're a winner.
That's right.
To me, if Jesus is praying for us, how can we lose?
That's right.
And let me say this too. My prayer for you all, this is what I pray. So you might as well know what I pray over you. We just pray
That's
in the Spirit
right.
for us. And we pray in the Spirit for you too. But I pray, this is just a general prayer that I pray over this congregation, over the sheep that's part of this fold here. And I pray that God will prosper you, that you will be in health.
That's right.
As your soul prospers. And then I come back around and I say, Father, help their soul to prosper. Mm. Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm not praying that you're going to get sick so God can show you something, teach you something. I'm not praying any of those crazy prayers. But we're praying that you prosper and be in health.
Right.
Just as your soul prospers. And
right.
Father, prosper their soul. Amen. Mind, will, emotions.
For me, I don't know why. That's enough reason to want to have a church home is because you got somebody praying for you consistently. And that's the reason why I would definitely want to be able to be born again is because Jesus is praying for you. And so you can't lose with the stuff we use. Amen. And we use those things there. So where are we going to pick it up?
So we are going to pick it up on Romans, the first chapter, and we're going to actually go to verse number 8 because we're going to talk about faith tonight, and I got some things I want to talk about. But let me just read this, and then we'll read, the reader can read verse number 8. But we went over verse number 7. I'm not going to try to rehash all this, but I just want to establish that the last time that we were together, we said that we focused in on being a saint, which just simply means that we are set apart for God to use us and for the Lord. And it says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints.
Now, that word actually means sanctify. And for a lot of us, we got a real weird deal when it comes to sanctify. Some of us think it's a certain hairdo or a long skirt or no makeup. There's a lot of ways that people try to be sanctified in the religious realm, but those things...
Even though I wish more women would wear longer skirts.
All right.
But not from a religious standpoint.
That doesn't sanctify
you. A dogmatic thing that if you wear, that means you're closer to God than someone else. But
right.
I'm telling you, in some cases, I don't think it's that bad.
I've been known to talk really strong about that, so I'm going to rest this time.
The Greek word for saints means set apart for God.
Right.
To be his very own people. This is what I wrote down. And that's what the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed in the upper room immediately after the Last Supper. Jesus included us in his prayer. And this is in St. John 17. You could write it down, read it later. But St. John 17, he prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. And he prayed for all believers. Now, we are believers and we are disciples. Disciples just mean followers of God. And because there's too many people that say, I'm a Christian, but they don't have any fruits to show that they really are. Mm. Because if you're a Christian, that means you're Christ-like, and you're following the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And you follow him through his word. So in order for us to say, to really say that we are Christians or we're born again, we have a new spirit in us, then it shouldn't be hard or a burden for us to want to live like Jesus, to have the mind of God.
That's right.
And we have to learn that There's too many Christians are still living by their emotions and how they just feel and all those feelings that changes with the weather, okay? And so we have to have something that's solid, that's a rock, and that rock is Jesus, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And so the Word of God should help us to be settled in our mind, in our lifestyle, and help us to make choices. Yes, what to wear, what to do, how to live. So there should be changes. My goodness, if we're coming to church all this time, then we should grow in the things of Christ. So you should be closer to the Lord next year than you were this year. It's a That's growing right. process. And you have some Christians that's been in church for 10 years and they still act like a baby. And I won't even tell you that because there's the OSP I've been thinking about.
I can see a baby.
So anyway.
A fat baby.
So we have
a 6'4" baby.
So we have to, being a believer, there's some changes
with a diaper on.
We should make. Really, there's some changes we should make, and we should be growing in Christ.
Now, I want to point out something. You said we weren't going to go to St. John, but we're going to go there real quick. Because I want to point this out now, because this was in my heart for tonight, for this Book of Romans study. Look at the 9th verse, chapter 17, verse number 9. I hear some music. We probably need to turn everything off that's on because we hear
a little subtle,
bit of track going on somewhere.
Definitely.
It says, this is 17 and 9. I pray for them, speaking of us. I pray not for the world. So that's telling me you want to live in the world? Jesus ain't praying for you, not in this prayer. And see, and he goes to heaven and he is at the right hand of the Father as an intercessor. Not for everybody, but for the believer. So you ought to be thanking God that you are a believer because you got Jesus. I think Jesus hits the mark when he prays. I think he gets his prayers answered. I remember some times specifically that I called out, and part of it was when we was building this building and had some real serious challenges, and other times when we were just dealing with sickness, not me, but we needed to deal with you. Helped you to get healed on a couple of things. And I said, Jesus, you are in the throne room with the Father. You got to talk to the Lord, God Almighty, and get me some help. Knowing that he is sitting as close as we're sitting, as it were, he's at the right hand of the Father. And so he is right there. And so we should be excited about the fact that he's praying for you. Now, he didn't pray for everybody here, but he prays not. He said, I'm not praying for the world. See, and this is the thing about it. You need to thank God that you got people that want to pray for you. Because before service tonight, this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, when the Lord got me up this morning and sent me to prayer, I was praying. I called out many of your names. I pray in general for the congregation, but some of you just come up in my spirit. And I'm praying for you by name. Lord God, help this one. And I'm calling out the names. You need to thank God that God puts that before people to pray for you. Many of you don't know how you got saved, but somebody was praying for you.
Sometimes even our family members, people that are not really serving God, sometimes they feel like they're getting away with something. And they don't even realize that their auntie or their cousin or their mother, father, grandma is praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's your prayers
that
are upholding some of your relatives because of what you're praying.
That's right.
I don't know. And so it's important praying for one another, but people that know how to pray, because why don't you just turn there because it's coming in my spirit anyhow.
That?
James, let's just find that because.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about.
Chapter 5.
Because it's a certain type of person that's praying.
The prayer of faith.
Because everybody that's praying,
don't know what they're talking about.
They don't know what they're praying, and some of their prayers are not even getting to heaven. And so here it says in James chapter 5, it says, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone's cheerful, let him sing psalms. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. That's so important. We've had people say, well, you didn't come visit me in the hospital. Well, you didn't let us know that you were in the hospital. Because if you're in the hospital and you want a visitation, believe me, we will get a visitation going for you. We'll rotate our deacons, and sometimes Pastor Short and I, of course, will come. And so you have to call. So that's very important. And says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And this is where I wanted to get to. And the prayer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when people are praying the prayer of unbelief or doubt, and always say, don't pray for something until you can pray the prayer of faith. Mm. You can go away from that prayer.
You can see it or believe you
received
it.
That's right. You can see it in your spirit.
Right.
And you go away
Ain't
from
no
that
sense
prayer.
In wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be messing it up, actually. If you're not ready really to pray over that thing, you can be messing it up because you don't have the faith for it. And sometimes I'm ready for a person to say, well, Pastor, pray for me. I got to have surgery. I'm saying to myself, you don't have to have surgery. We can cancel that. But they say, I'll ask them, so how do you want me to pray? Well, just pray that the surgery goes real good. I ain't never heard of a good surgery, but what I'd like to say is you don't have to have that surgery necessarily. Now, you can have it. That's another way of getting healed, too.
Yeah.
They cut the thing out and sew you back up.
Right.
But anytime, let me just say it this way. I like what Henry Hinn, his wife, Donna, said. She said, anytime the earth is cut, it's a serious, and we're see, anytime our bodies are cut, it's a serious matter.
Well, that's why before you go into surgery, you definitely should pray. And
you should get some opinions before you go. You shouldn't just go off one jackleg guy that got a degree cheating with AI. You want to make sure that that doctor really knows what he's talking about. Now, sometimes the medical field, and we got some nurses in here and all that, sometimes they don't want you to check. They don't want you to get a second opinion. Some will kick you off their system because you get a second opinion. They don't want, especially if it's not one of theirs in their group. You go to another or another group of medical professionals and get a second opinion, they'll kick you off their insurance. And so you have to watch that. But you need to make sure that this should be done, not just accept anything that anybody says, because you're dealing with human beings. And so it's serious, and sometimes we need
a second. It's not a lack of faith.
No, it's not.
If you have the surgery, but you need to pray and ask God to guide the hands of the surgeon.
Right, that's the second thing that we would do.
And so you need to pray because you want the prayer of faith.
Right. So let's continue with that.
So it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. See, we have to believe this. We have to believe this. Now, I don't think I have my notes with me, but God has drawn me, and see, I don't have, because I had scriptures about this, and I was going to deviate real quick, but God wanted me to insert this, and I'll just insert it, and next week I'll bring the scriptures, because there's two scriptures I want to give them to you, but we have to have faith to live a long life, because the Bible talks about living to 70, and then it says, I can't remember exactly how it says, but then it gives you another 10 years to 80.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and that was the people that were disobeying God. But prior to that, God gave mankind a number that they would live to be 120 years old. And so we have to have faith for longevity that we're going to live longer.
If you want to.
Right. We, as a believer, too, let me just say that, too. As a believer, we can talk to God. We can talk to God. I don't care what age you are. And if you're dealing with sickness or whatever, because it's in the Bible that they didn't receive their deliverance.
Right.
And so, because they wanted to be with God.
Let me just stop
I'm going around.
Let me just stop this right. Okay. And I'm not dealing with just the cares of this world, but the Lord told me this before service, and I should have done it at the beginning. Right this moment, President Trump is meeting with Xi Jinping in South Korea, and he has just ordered the United States to begin immediately testing our nuclear weapons. This is serious conversations that's going on in this world right now, and we're talking about prayer, and the Lord's like, why won't you pray? Okay. Kings and all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So can we just stop right now and just do what we're talking about? All right, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for leaders that are coming together to be able to discuss things that are very important to all mankind. And we pray, Lord, for this nation, and we know that, God, you've given us the ability to be able to intercede. And Jesus, I know you're at the right hand of the Father because you said so. And so we just believe that you're there as our intercessor. So we ask that you go to the throne room as you are there and intercede on behalf of peace for the NEN, for what is happening around the world with all these world leaders meeting in South Korea and throughout Asia today in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's peace that passes all understanding that you give to the believer, but we ask for the peace in this world. And you put us here as salt and light to preserve things and to be able to bring illumination to it. So God, I have no spirit, as you reminded me again, that we need to pray during this time and not just this. So we pray, God, your perfect will be done now in Jesus' name. We pray that peace that passes all understanding come to the believers, that there be no fears. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will give us and grant us the desires of our heart. You said, whatsoever we desire when we pray, believe we receive it, and we have it. We believe we receive it, so we have it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for it. Call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. All right. All right. I have the scriptures. I did write them down in my Bible. So in Psalms 90 and 10, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years.
Right.
And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. This was for the disobedience, but God promised. Now in Genesis 6:3, it says, God said this. He said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God said that. And we need to start having faith to live longer than what we, you know, have.
And that doesn't mean you got to live all crypt all up, just all messed up.
No, even when Moses died, he was strong.
You got to use your faith to keep yourself, you know, going. These
practical
speaking and stuff. Because
I'm just saying, the Spirit of God told me, which is true, but the Spirit of God told me to put this in this congregation. So that's all I have to really
say. Are you
say.
Believing for anything beyond whatever God just throws your way? That's, or life throws your way. You have to use your faith for everything,
okay,
including how I'll be here. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's go to Romans.
Chapter 1,
chapter
8,
one, verse 8.
Do we have a reader? Who's our reader tonight? Okay. Go ahead and read. Begin there in verse number 8.
And we're going to deviate, and we're going to talk about faith tonight.
Okay. I already have notes on that because I was going to talk to the teens, too. Whenever okay. they
so
come
read
back.
Verse number 8 and read verse number 9. Might as well read them together, and then we'll just go back and dive into the word faith. Okay.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Be seated. Thank you very much. And when he says, and then we're going to talk about faith, but I make mention of you always in my prayers. I think Pastor Shorter, he said that already tonight, of course, that thank God that we're praying for you. Jesus is praying for us. We can't lose. But this is called intercessory prayer. When you're praying for other people, you're interceding for them. And so we need to pray for other people. We need to pray for ourselves. Ourselves need to pray for other people as well.
That's right.
Okay, so let's go with faith because I have some notes, and you sound like you have some notes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What is faith? Let me give you a definition of faith real quick, and then we're going to go to, there's so many places to go. But I have down here Romans talking about the faith of Abraham because that's important. And then we will go to Hebrews 2. Because let me just say this. Okay, faith is trust in God. Okay? And then faith is an action. So when you say you have faith in God, then you're saying you have complete trust in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then faith is an action. So faith will cause you to do something.
Right.
So when you're trusting God, then God is going to always tell you to do something, okay? So let me get this, and then we'll talk about it. So We are through faith. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us, and we're going to give you some scriptures and talk about this and whatever pastor has. So we are saved through faith. We are told in the Bible that we are to walk by faith. That means to live. So we're saved, but then after we're saved, then now we have to learn how to live. And that's why this ministry is very important, because sometimes you can go to, you know, just basically get people saved, but we want to teach you how to live this Christian life, okay? So because you're saved, you don't have to get saved again. You don't have to get saved again, okay? But now you have to learn how to live by faith, okay? And so what about that? And then faith will come and faith will leave. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith can do as well, because you can't have faith and doubt at the same time. So either you're operating in faith or you're operating in fear or doubt, okay?
Okay, now, let's just dovetail. Do you see all these notes on faith? Okay, that was me for tonight.
We're on a court. Now, we haven't gotten together.
I didn't think I was going to be in here. Okay.
Yeah, he's been part of his time with the team ministry.
Yeah, I missed it last week, and so I told him I'd be here tonight. They said, great, but they're not having it.
One thing about what we do, and it's, I think it'll be good for you to know, is that we know scriptures, the verses that we're going to go through, basically. And, of course, we know we're in the book of Romans. But we don't share notes, so,
we say that to you so that you'll have faith that God is talking to you.
And
not
so
that we conferred
to
together on what we will tell the people. No, the Spirit of God brought this together, okay? So now, 11:1, faith, put it on the screen. Now, faith is, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance. Now, the word substance is the way I like to teach this, it's the underlying stance. It's what you are standing on that's under, that nobody can really see. A submarine is submerged under the marine, under the water. So your faith really is not seen by people. It is the substance. Faith is the substance, the thing that is underneath you that you're standing on. It's the substance of things hoped for. Now, if you don't have hope, you don't need faith.
Right, because hope and faith are two different things.
You cannot live by hope only. All you'll be is hoping and praying.
I'm just
but you're not
going
to get. Hope is not designed to be material. It does not become your healed. It does not become that relationship coming back together. You can hope all you want to, but until you take that hope and see, hope is like, well, yeah, the pilot. Yeah, okay, because aviation. I don't know why, but okay. Flown on an aircraft, I'm talking about turbine engines, the jets. That engine is sprayed with fuel that is like, it's so much in this tank called an engine, and then all of a sudden, there's ignition. There's a spark. They have sparks all throughout that engine, all the way around in that engine. And if you carefully, especially starting a helicopter or a jet, you can hear it tick, 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 has combustion. Faith is the lighter. It's the ignition. It's the spark. Hope is just the stuff sprayed in there. And it can't take you nowhere until you get that faith going. That engine starts, and that fire starts going, turns those turbines, and all of a sudden that thing is going so fast, it'll push that plane down the runway. It'll push you all the way to New York just by having fire, because faith is the fire. Hope is the fuel.
That's why there should be some fire.
There should be a fire.
If we're in faith.
Y'all hear me on midnight prayer and praise? I'm saying, come on now. Yeah, don't you sleep. I know it's 11 o'clock, 11:30, 11:45. Get your rump up and let's pray. We need some fire up in here. Because, see, we got some hope. Hope is the fuel we're pushing. But until you ignite it, you ain't going nowhere. Same thing happens with your car. Your car is firing off those pistons consistently. It sprays that gasoline in there, but then there is a spark plug. And that spark plug fires off. There's explosion going off. You got 8 cylinders all in sequence. All those cylinders are firing off. You know the RPM or the revolutions per minute because it's firing off. Thoughts are down the street. But if you just blow gas in there, it's just like, it's another thing because there's no fire. You need some fire in your life, and that's faith.
And faith, you can't see it necessarily.
That's right.
Of course, there's some action to it, but after a while, you'll be able to see your faith
manifested. It'll take you somewhere.
Right. It's like we have built. See, you now you can faith.
I don't have to say nothing. People say, oh, you're the pastor. You guys got that church on 112th Street. I say, yeah. But before, I used I had hope that we would have this, but then I used my faith because we had to do a whole lot of actions to get the money and get the people excited about building a $6 million building.
I mean, when you run out of money and you know, you say, Lord, how are we going to finish this thing? You know, and so faith, you can, after a while, you should be able to see something.
You can't be in faith forever and never. It's like you can't run forever unless you keep it in neutral and never go nowhere. You put that thing in drive, you're going to start moving.
Actually.
Because there's all this ignition going on because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And this is what I'm trying to tell y'all. If you ain't got no hope for nothing, you don't need any faith.
So actually, they're seeing us being for 51 years. It's because of faith.
That's right. A whole lot of faith. We had hope of being able to stay together.
Yeah, but we had to have faith in God.
That he's going to help us to get
there.
Right. Now,
because faith is the action.
Please write this down.
Wait a minute, let me say. Because faith is the action. So there are certain things we had to do. He had to do as the husband. I had to do as a wife. Led by the Spirit of God. Come on, you guys. Right. Once again, we are to live by faith. The Bible says the just
shall live
by. Guess what it says? Jesus whipped up the devil. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. And you need the God in your marriage.
But you need to believe that
word. You have to let the word of God be the final authority. That's faith.
Okay. Write this down. I will never lose hope. If you ever lose hope, I will never lose hope. If you ever lose hope, you can bag it. You don't need no faith. I don't care how much you go through family situations, personal relationships that go sour or hurting, sicknesses, lack of accomplishments, sick of school, need money, or don't know how to finish your vision. You or anything else, you should not lose hope. That's how people commit suicide, because they lose hope.
You always would say a hopeless person is dangerous. A dangerous person.
That's a person. You find somebody hopeless. Because they're a long time here recently, what's the use? I might as well leave the place and, you know, shoot myself too. That murder-suicide demon together, you got to understand that. That's why they always find that he shot himself, shot up the place, and then, because the demon's going, and he's going to escape. I'm giving you some spiritual training now.
He's going to
that body because he's going to look for another one.
Demons do not die.
They don't.
And you can't send Satan to hell.
It ain't
right
time
now,
yet.
Okay? So, you know, because saints, we used to pray like that. Satan, I send you to hell.
And he's sitting there laughing at you.
Because we don't know the word. That's why we need to know the word.
You can bind him. You can cast him out. But you cannot send him to hell.
You guys ever heard where Jesus cast out the demons and they went into what? Some pigs.
Went into the pigs.
Okay.
Some of them people know.
I know this is pretty heavy, but it's not die. And so, but we have authority over them because God said we can cast out demons.
See, because there's too many evil things that's happening that's being blamed on. It's just demonic. Now, the world can't go there. The psychologists can't go there. The psychiatrists can't go there because they're not trained in the spiritual and they don't have a spiritual life for the most part. Yeah, unless they're Christian psychologists or Christian counselors or whatever. And some of them are a little weak on what they teach anyhow. But, you know, there are some get into this demons, and demons are real. Not every problem is caused by demons. They got to have the discerning of spirits. You got to find out, how is this thing happening? You know, is this demonically? Is this person just likes the desire to do those things? You know, they're just a little, or they're mental, or what are we dealing with? And that's where the Spirit of God will allow you to have, and there's different levels of this discerning of spirits, where you can know what spirit a person is of, and what they're operating. And, you know, you can sometimes to people and know where they are. A gentleman, he's not here tonight, but we had a gentleman, he was here Sunday and the Sunday before. He was dealing with so much anger during the services. I asked y'all to pray because I could see that he was to the point of violence in the service sitting right over there. And he was getting so angry in the middle of the service, I found out because his mother died 5 years ago and he hasn't been able to deal with it. And he says the whole family is sort of like that. They just feel like God did it. And so here he is hearing about how good God is while I'm talking about it, and he's seething. I mean, he had to walk out of here. And I asked y'all to pray. Well, he got saved that day, okay? And that's why I had to pray, because he got saved. Whenever God has brought, I don't even like to say this, but God has brought a lot of people here that's been at the end of their rope, and they get saved here, and things change completely. Yeah. But anyhow, never lose hope. No matter what the situation is, if you lose hope, you're in trouble. I don't care what you're dealing with, don't lose hope. Now, I almost completely lost hope, but I had a very hopeful wife. And this is why I'm saying it matters who you marry. I never thought that I would need her to help to keep me alive while I was going through some sickness, because I wasn't a sickly person.
Kept hope alive.
And kept hope alive, that's true. Because I was like, man, you know, I 5 years of this, I'm sick of this. I ain't supposed to live like this. I feel like I'm an embarrassment to the congregation. This is not what I want. I didn't ask for this. I didn't go out and say, give me some drugs, you guys. No, I went to the hospital and they screwed me up. I mean, so what can I? And so you can get to the point where you lose hope, or you're always fighting with the money thing. You don't believe in tithing and giving. You think that God's a liar and the preacher's stealing money and stuff. And so you're always going, if that's the way you think. Yeah. Because you're not going to, not as a child of God. Because see, once you come into the kingdom of God.
The way God wants.
No, let me just finish the statement. You cannot come in and get salvation and think you're going to do nothing with your responsibility. Jesus died on the cross for you, and you're going to just suck up your money. You ain't going to serve. You ain't going to do nothing. Just float to heaven. Mm-mm. You're not going to be. You have to realize when you come into the kingdom of God, and I almost want to give a disclaimer before we even let people get saved up in this church, that listen, you're about to change your life. You better be ready to do this.
Well, we do that for personal work.
Well, they are trained to do that. Are you ready for this life-changing experience?
And I've had a person to say, no, I'm not.
Right.
I mean, I've had someone
they
to
just
say that.
Say, I'm not ready.
And they were going to church.
Yeah, okay, we won't go to
long story.
Yeah. So you have to decision. I am never going to allow myself to lose hope. Not in that marriage. I don't care what happens. I don't care. Relatives die, mother died, all that kind of stuff can get to you. You know, I lost my stand. But you can't let yourself get out of hope. If you do, you become a dangerous person, because then all the preaching in the world doesn't help you, because you don't need faith anymore. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God doesn't mean anything to you. And that's why I saw that young man. I said, this man, the word is not even affecting him now. So we got to have this whole congregation. Let's concentrate our prayer on him. Well, it worked.
You know, I remember, and he was called as a prophet, but something happened, and him and his wife ended up in divorce, and it just devastated him. And then she basically took him through some terrible things, and, you know, now we're on doing good and stuff like that. But, and he lost all, I mean, here he is. Educated man, mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about?
No,
now?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I think he was something, but he had, you know, just a real man. He was a prophet. I mean, he prophesied and stuff.
Okay. I don't remember.
He's the one that wrote you and said, the little boats and the ship and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So anyway, but okay. He ended up on the streets. He became homeless.
Yeah.
He ended up on the streets in Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he became homeless. He gave up hope. I mean, he
back.
Yeah, he did. But I wanted to say that because I thought about that. The Holy Spirit reminded me. And he lost all hope.
Yeah.
He quit his job.
Right.
He on the streets. There's some people that are on the streets right now, living outside, even right now in this cold weather, just because they lost hope.
That's right.
And then he start going to the house in downtown Seattle.
That's right.
And, you know, and the, working with him again, and he, you know, he
got, right.
And now back, you know, good job. His kids are, both of them, right. Children. I mean, his daughter, she's a doctor.
She's a physician. Yeah.
And, but he all and ended up on the streets. And so that's why we should pray for people that we see. Everyone, you know, some of them are on drugs or that's how they got on the streets. Some of them, they just lost hope, you know, and so up on life and they ended up, you know, living on the street.
I want you to write down what you want or what you hope for.
And we're getting ready to close.
Yeah, a lot of people have anything in front of them that they're hoping for. You know, they work for the government or whatever, and so that's automatic. I mean, you know, well, ooh, no. But, you know, they you can get this, you know, this autopilot. You don't worry about, you know, you got enough savings if something happened anyhow. And so you don't need to use hope. I mean, you don't have to for anything, and because you're that well off, as it were, in the world. But you need to always have something that you're hoping for. Now, that sounds like greed, but it's not. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have nothing to hope for, and it doesn't have to be material. You can be hoping for certain people to get saved, or you can be hoping for the government to change, or you can be hoping that way you can have faith for something, because without faith, you can't please God.
Are you understanding what Pastor Short is saying? So you have hope, but then faith will cause you to do something with that hope.
It okay. causes what you hope for to come to pass. I'll read it again. Now, faith is a substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The only evidence that you have that you don't see, okay? This is why you shouldn't go running around saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. I'm sick. We can see you. You know, your nose is running. Looks awful, okay? You're sneezing and coughing.
No more, you know, color in your skin. I mean,
you're sick.
You look sick.
Okay? We know you're not yourself up. You're sick, okay? But why run around and say the things that are seen? We see that you're sick. What we want to see is you well. So faith is the substance of things that you're hoping for. You're not hoping for more sickness. So why are we going to concentrate on the sickness? We can see you're sick. What you're hoping for is healing. So that's what we're going to concentrate on our faith. But if you really believe it, the first action you're going to take is you're going to say, I believe
right.
I receive my healing.
I was going to say that. So that's your
because
first
death
action.
And life is in the power of the tongue. And I hear too many people that have hope, but
no,
and
even
say
in
they
in
got
church
without saying. You don't say no. Nothing.
You don't.
Thing works by words. You can't go to heaven without words.
The Lord has he has said to me just constantly. He has said
we're too
people,
quiet.
Well, yeah, we're too quiet. We're not speaking faith over our lives.
It shouldn't just be the pastor in his life
saying,
I believe we receive. I believe you are supposed to have something you're hoping for. If you don't have something, go home and pray and ask God, God, what should I be hoping for? And maybe it's not something that you want, but something that somebody else is believing for that you can be able to use your faith to help them to get it.
And you're just in a rut because you just
it's
won't.
It's boring.
But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So really, it's because you don't have the faith
right.
for that. So that's why it's hard for you to let it come out of your mouth.
Write and, down what you want or hope for. If you don't have anything, some of you're saying, oh, Lord, I ain't hoping for nothing. I hope I can go to work tomorrow. I hope they pay me. I hope my car starts. I hope I can get gas.
So that takes me to that. So you can go outside tonight and say, you can sit in your car and say, I just hope my car start.
And it ain't going to start.
I hope my car start.
You can say it all night long.
I hope my car start.
We'll drive off and leave you
Well,
there.
You got to have some faith, so you put the key in, the ignition,
and
turn it on. That's
and
faith.
The car will turn. Or push the button. You know, they got buttons now.
We're going to have to. So this has been good. Praise God.
I feel
Come
cheated.
On, let's thank the Lord.
Come on, give God praise.
We're going to continue on. We stopped on Hebrews 11. We're going to continue on because we believe that we hear this. Right. Did you want to have any last words before we go to tithes and offerings?
Once you get faith, because you have hope, your life has purpose. And so you will not cast off restraint. You will make room for yourself. You'll make sure you'll do things. You'll make sure, and once you get that, you write down, because you write your vision down, then, because that's tied to your hope. Because a vision is just a wish until it's written down.
So let's talk to the young people, because they're in here. So you have hope, okay, that, hey, I want this, okay? And now you're going to add some faith, because you're going to take what you need to take. And
that's action.
You know, get around people in that particular career. That's action.
You'll read some books about it. That's action.
And then what you just said. So now I want you to put that. You won't cast off. That will help you to restrain yourself, to not hang around the hard heads.
That's right.
To not hang around the ones in the drugs. How are you going to?
That's right.
How are you going to take? You can't take drugs. You know, be a pilot. If that's their, you're all strung out, can't get to work on time, you're going to lose that job. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you start having discipline in your life. You say, I can't do that. I can't go over there. Hey, you know.
And you got it yourself as in training. Now, when it comes to Christianity and living for the Lord and even being a pastor, I see this as I'm in training for heaven. Yeah. So what would a person going to compete in the Olympics, is training for the Olympics, they're disciplining their body, they're eating the right thing, they're sleeping the right amount, they're making sure they don't get tied up with the wrong stuff. They're always, always working to that. Well, your goal in heaven is bigger than the physical.
That's right. So we all have heaven,
right? We should be
heaven,
all
right?
Coming in here
you
working out
heaven,
as it is spiritually.
Right? So yeah, we should have some action.
That's right.
And so that should keep
you
from
training.
The hard heads and from all this and that.
You
and
can't, you can't drink. How are you going to get your... You're
going to heaven.
Come on now.
That's your hope.
You can't allow you to get into those things, because you are so focused with your vision to be able to be part of the kingdom of God. You ain't got time for
and
all
then
that
you
mess.
Don't have time, since it's Halloween coming up. You don't have time to go to all these movies that are out there right now. These bloody movies and demonic
movies. And then wonder why you got demons
in
your house.
Because you're training for heaven. You have hope for heaven. And that's going to open the door for demonic things, not godly things.
That's right.
And so you stay away from those things because what? You have faith that you're going to
and
heaven.
This
Amen.
Is not boogeyman stuff. What we're telling you is spiritual. God is a spirit, and so is the devil, okay? He is not in a physical body. He will possess physical bodies, but the enemy that is promoting all of this witches and warlocks, and you shouldn't have your kids watching those stupid programs. I mean, all year long, there's so stupid mess on television. These cartoons get all, you know, filtered through with all the stupid demons and witches, and it's always some old evil crap, and I'm sick of it.
There's
you
things
need to
that we
tell the kids.
Even...
You know, you can't watch that.
There's things we wouldn't let kids watch in our household.
They didn't get a
There's seat. Toys that we wouldn't buy them.
That's right. Old crazy
There's,
ones.
Yep. crazy looking toys we wouldn't buy. There's, and I had one of our relatives, I said, tell your other relatives, stop buying your child these toys for Christmas. You have to speak up. You said, well, what if I offend? Well, you're not trying to offend somebody, but don't let demonic stuff in your house.
Brother,
just say, look,
you already.
I'm not bringing that into my household, so don't buy it for my children. Don't buy that for me, okay? And so, I mean, somebody rabbit foot. I mean, you know, rabbit wasn't lucky. And so
I do believe.
You have to tell them, look, I don't believe in luck, okay? I believe in Luke, not luck. And so I appreciate you know, wanting to buy me, but really, this is not useful for me, okay? So you have to stop in love, okay? And because you're training for heaven, you have faith for heaven, and you have something more important. So we had to tell our kids, you can't watch that, because you know why? Evil stuff is all around. And as soon as you send them off to school, you have to pray for them. But there's some kids on those school grounds, they're talking some smack and stuff that they shouldn't even be hearing. So you have to have your kids, you have to put rules and things in the house as best as you can, because You're trying to protect them from what's outside. And believe me, they're going to be faced with what's outside, and they're going to have
That's
to
right.
make some decisions.
That's right.
But you're responsible. We're responsible to give them a good foundation so they can have something to fall
but
back on.
But they will not miss it after a while. See, what we did before VeggieTales became really famous, you know, some of you don't know what VeggieTales is still. But anyhow, before VeggieTales became a real popular thing, that's all Danae and Monet and Don Shorter Jr., that's all they saw, was VeggieTales or Risky Rat with, I can't remember. Anyway, all of these were Christians, so they never even, we never even channeled to these other stupid things.
Now, did that keep them from all the evil stuff, and did they make some bad choices? Yeah, they still made some bad choices.
Very stupid
But because
choices.
Of their upbringing, they were able, God was on the prodigals. God was able to help
Bring
them
back.
To come back into the things of God.
Now,
and let me say this. You don't have to help your kids to practice evil. There's enough of that garbage.
That's right.
Now, I mean, I remember, and this, because this, you know, I remember, we really are now, but I remember I went over, and see, and I knew, I had just gotten saved. And I went over to a friend's house, and her mother played the Ouija board. If some of you guys know that game, okay?
Ain't
it's
no
an
game.
Evil, demonic game. They said as a game. Okay, and it's along with, I mean, you can go buy things, so don't do it. And you're in demonic spirits with that thing. And so her mother was playing the thing while I was at this girl's house, and her mother was saying, "Am I gonna die?" And so this thing start moving, and it starts spelling out when she's gonna.
Right
know,
now.
And then her man said, "Do you want to play?" And I thank God, the Spirit of God, because I had just got born again. The Spirit of God said, "Stay away from there." And I said, "No, I don't want to have anything to do with that." And I left that house.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anything about the Word of God, but my spirit said, don't even do this.
Yeah.
And so thank God for that. But okay.
Danae, I'm going to, she don't mind, but Danae got to the 5 years old. She said, "I don't want any friends unless they're saved." And so if you're going to play with Danae, you had to get saved. She would get you saved and then say, "I can play with you."
Yep.
I'm not kidding you. She did that all the way up into her teenage years. If you were going to play with her, you got to get saved. That's the first thing she asked her friends. Are you saved? You want Jesus? And now, you know, you heard what Don said Sunday. Now we got, you know, Don the third, going to third grade and talking to the kids saying, "He don't know nothing about Jesus. I'm going to tell him tomorrow."
So praise
See, you can
God.
Train your children. And I'm not saying we're perfect. And we're not saying they're perfect. But you can train them to where they don't even know what they're missing. They don't know that they've missed all that stuff because you just blocked out the channels and gave them something else to watch.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's praise the Lord tonight. Come on.
Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
God for the word. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.